Tuesday, December 24th at 5 p.m. there'll be a candlelight Christmas Eve service with the Lord's Supper. And on the 25th, be with your family. Happy birthday, Jesus. No evening service, no honors, no youth service, no singing.
You can sing at home.
Yep.
You can sing at home.
Christmas carols from our own house. Sing it to God. See if you can hear. We still need nursery volunteers on the last Sunday of month 29th, if anybody's in. We need with children on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, the 22nd, right? All right. Any other announcements we need to make now?
No ladies, but.
No ladies Bible study till January.
Let's take a moment and talk to the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to be here, for the pleasant weather we've had, nice sunshine. Father, thank you for the sunshine. Yes, thank you for the ability to be here, for the health and strength. We pray that you be with those who are sick and need your help, Father. Protect them and heal them according to your will and all this. And all those that need it. Be with John as he prepares to break the word tonight. We ask that you would speak through him to us. Pray the same in his last name.
Amen.
Stand with me again. 288. We begin. That's probably a
every man is a
Well, good evening, everybody. It's an honor to fill in for Brother Lee this evening. And I just pray that I am worthy. And Brother James, if I had asked that you lift me up right now.
Yes, sir.
All right, appreciate that.
Dearly Father, we just give you all the honor and praise and glory, Lord. And we just tonight lift up John to you as he steps in to preach your word, Lord, and or teach your word, whatever you put on his heart. We just ask the Holy Spirit to work in him, and Lord, and let us receive it. We just thank you for him stepping up, Lord, in a short notice, Lord. To just know he's nervous, but God, you're in control, and just give him the words to say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother James. What we're going to be looking at tonight, I'm really not going to be tied into any particular verse, but I want to talk about the purpose of Christ's birth. So if you bear with me on that, and then I will give you some scriptures and that we will be looking at. Of course, the birth of Jesus is important in this Christendom because of it represents the actual purpose which Christians believe and hold their faith. And the birth of Jesus is important. The existence of Jesus proves the validity of the Old Testament and most of the prophecies made in the Old Testament that you read today have come to exist because of the birth of Christ. Now, if you got a pencil and paper, I'd ask that you write these down. These are out of the Old Testament, and this is some of the validity that there is in there. It's Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 9, verse 6, Isaiah 40, verse 3, Isaiah 35, verses 4 through 6, Isaiah 53, verse 12, and Isaiah 53, verse 3. Now, I believe I gave that to Bobby. Was that you that has that? Did you want to read that, Bobby?
He was despised and rejected by mankind. Huh? Okay. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man suffering and familiar with pain, like one of whom people hid their faces. He was despised and he was held. He was held him in low esteem.
All right, so y'all remember how that took place in the New Testament, but it was prophesied in the Old. If you have your pencil again, please write these down. That would be Zechariah 9:9, Zechariah 11:12, and Zechariah 12:10. Who has 12:10? James, is that you? Okay. 9 what? 9:9. Okay, go ahead and read that.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout and trumpet, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just as endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Amen. Y'all remember how Jesus entered into Jerusalem, right? And the last one I think I have is Psalm 22:14-17. Go ahead, Miss Pat.
I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look, they stare at me.
All right. And y'all remember that place on Mount Calvary. So here are some of those old prophecies that we had in the Old Testament. I kept looking at that, and it says there's over 100 places in the Old Testament where Jesus is spoken of. Okay? Now, the birth of Jesus is obviously the most celebrated day. that we have, yet it's the most controversial. And not because of the actual date, but to the world and the meaning of his birth. He came to save the world, not to rule the world. All right? And in the fact that the world doesn't look at it that way. In the words of the angels, this day Savior will be born, Christ the Lord, in Luke chapter 2, verses 11. Thus, knowing that, Jesus is the only source for salvation for sinners. And we know the story of Jesus. You know, he was conceived by Mary when John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, was 6 months pregnant. And the angel called Gabriel, or named Gabriel, I'm sorry, was sent by God to inform Mary that she was going to have a son. And the son was going to be conceived through immaculate power of God. And because Mary was a virgin, she was about to marry Joseph. When Gabriel broke that news to Mary, she was very scared. We all have read that in the Gospels. Because she knew of the news of her pregnancy was not going to be good when she had to tell Joseph. Now why? We all know why. Okay? There was an espousal period that was there. And how was Joseph going to hear that she was pregnant and he's not even married to her yet? The angel promised her that Joseph would not reject her and advised her how favored she was in the eyes of God. So in Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, when Mary revealed this to Joseph, like most men today, he decided to break off the relationship in a private manner, didn't want to hurt her, without notification to any other people. As he thought about how to execute this plan, an angel appeared before him, and it confirmed that she was indeed pregnant. And was pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now the angel then instructed Joseph that in the name of the baby would be Jesus. You all have read that in the Gospels. The role of this child that we know as Jesus was to save the world from sins. And he would also be called what? Anybody remember? Emmanuel, thank you. And that meaning is that God was in the presence of his people upon his birth. After this revelation from this angel, Joseph did decide to marry Mary after all. Okay. Now Mary had labor pains, as you all know. How many have had labor? Oh, okay, I shouldn't ask that. Right. Mary had labor pains and had to give birth in a manger, as there wasn't obviously any room in the inns. And I thought about something. I saw a picture the other day that it sucked about 10 little toes, 10 little fingers, sitting in a manger of hay, would one time be a king. And he was not born in a king bed. So it's something for us to really understand. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, we read about the shepherds and who were guarding the flocks at night. You all remember that? And they were visited by an angel who gave them the good news. He gave them a sign to prove that that child would be found laying in that manger that we talked about here, covered with a cloth. Immediately after that, heavens opened up, and other angels joined in the one angel that was talking to the shepherds, and they sang songs and danced. Now, that's a wonderful thing. Jesus was born at that time. Jesus born in a manger of hay, not in a king-sized bed, but would become a king. really an excellent story. Again, the birth of Jesus was the beginning of the Christian hope and faith, where people's belief regarding the second coming of God to deliver us from the worldly miseries that we're living in right now. It had to, needless to say, take his death for that to do it. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32, according to Simeon, Jesus would act as a light among the Jews and the Gentiles. The Bible also revealed that the only way to heaven was by following in the footsteps of Jesus. No one can have eternal life if they are not at par with following Jesus. Those were the requirements for us, following Jesus, proclaiming him as our personal Savior, for us to have that eternal life that we're talking about. Moreover, Jesus was born to save people from their sins so that they would not perish. We hear through many of Brother Lee's messages that God is a merciful God and a gracious God, and he does not want anybody to perish. We're studying in Revelations right now about him sending the messengers and sending the 144,000. But God still didn't want to give up. Didn't want to give up losing what he loved the most, and that was you and I. He was born to save us from our sins. He gave Christians a chance to hope for a life where there was no plan. Tears, or even any other form of problems that we have. He made people believe about a place called heaven and where peace abides, because we're not getting it here. We have trials and tribulations each and every day of our life. But the only way we're going to have peace is when we're in his heaven. Christians have always said that he was born on the 25th of December. But the Bible doesn't really say that. The precise date really doesn't mean anything. What does really make the difference is that he was born. Thank God he was born. We read about heaven, and the Bible lets us know how we can get there, and we all fall short because we are all born sinners. Christians understand the greater purpose that Jesus has put into us with his existence. And it's vital for Christians to remind themselves of the second coming, as we're going to be reunited with not only our loved ones, but with our Heavenly Father. So, as Christians, Christ still remains the reason why we have that hope and faith. I don't think anyone here is looking forward to visiting their relatives in hell. We have a visual descriptive that we can put in our mind about what hell is going to be like. Right? We're not going to be able to pray them out of hell. The time that we can reach them is now while they are alive. So there is an undisputable existence as to why Jesus had to be born. We know in the Old Testament, God sent in Judges numerous people to help the Jewish people. And after a while of repentance, they went back to their same old ways. When 9/11 happened, the churches were overflowing. Overflowing. We couldn't probably not fit everybody in here. But now, take a look. Everything's going good. I don't need God, James. You know, everything's running good in my family. You know, Paul, I might have had to buy a battery, but everything's well. You know what I mean? So we're not coming to church. We're not hearing words of wisdom. The greatest existent thing that happened to us is the birth of Christ, and we take it very lightly. This coming week, the birth of Jesus is going to be celebrated by many in the religious world with great pomp, celebration, and even festivals, better than Thanksgiving. Be food again, right? And come January 1st, we'll be going on our year resolution to lose weight. But during that celebration and pomp and festivals that's going on that particular day, the pews, often empty, are going to be full. They're called CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. And we are going to be inundated with people that we only see maybe once a year, or new visitors that will be coming to visit us. People will be inconveniencing themselves on that day to attend church service. Isn't that a shame? Notice I use that word, inconvenience. I don't know about you, but I remember Moses received this plaque on the mountain. And it said to keep the Sabbath holy. So we ought to be inconveniencing these people at least 52 times a year. But no, they're only going to come out for Christmas and Easter. And thank God they do come out for those 2 days. Because it might be the day that they're going to hear the salvation message and know in their heart that they are not saved individuals and confess Jesus as their Savior. When they inconvenience themselves each week and keep the Sabbath, God is going to bless them because of that. The world should, rather than condemning those that honor that day, they should understand the reason for his birth. I'll give you a couple examples. It demonstrates the truth of the Bible that Jesus the Savior has been born. It's true in the Bible. Secondly, the result might change their attitude, their kindness, their faithfulness, their thanksgiving, their greeting to others that show the principles of Jesus' work during his ministry. Consider a couple of things here. Consider a couple of reasons why it's important of Jesus' death. One, the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Listed that way twice in the Bible. Okay? 1 John, I believe, is what it is in. Is that correct? Will somebody look that for me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was among us. It's in John chapter 1. I believe that's how it starts off. Tell me somebody's got it. All right, go ahead, Marjorie. Amen. Jesus' birth was bringing the Word of God down here to earth. Another thing that is important is the fact that the birth of Jesus revealed the true nature of God. So let me ask you, what do you believe is the true nature of God? I'll give you a hint. It begins with L. Love. That is correct. The true nature of God is love. It wasn't God that messed it up. It was man that messed it up. All right? You understand? Another thing to consider here. What's the importance of his birth? The birth of Jesus also revealed to us the grace of God. Here is his only son in heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, and Jesus has God has decided to send Jesus down here to earth. He didn't have to come. You remember in the garden when Jesus was praying, if there be any other way. Do you remember that? If there be anyone, any other way, let it happen. But no, God wasn't going to accept that. And Jesus again prayed, let your will be done. And he died for you and I. Another thing is that the birth of Jesus Christ revealed something else to us and the importance of his birth, and that was the truth of God. We fortunately, each and every one of us, have that truth in our hand, the infallible word of God. In the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus and the purpose of his birth, that he was coming. Be prepared, he is coming. And then in the New Testament, he came and dwelt among us. We know now that we get the reality of God's true love for us with the birth of Jesus. Also, God's forgiveness. Also, a new birth that we are going to see, and of heaven and of eternal life if we have Jesus in our heart. So I ask you now here, do you know someone who needs to know the good news? So when I ask that, let them know about Jesus during this festive time, an easy, approachable time than any other time in the year when you're speaking about Jesus. Let them know the purpose of his birth. Let them know the importance of his birth. As I mentioned in all these areas that we talked about this evening, God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for you and I, in spite of how bad we were, you know, about how shortcomings that we have. Don't just go through this life, in this earthly life that we have, not knowing what they will miss out on when you talk to these people. They will miss out on eternity in heaven. I know you've heard the old cowboy saying that I'll meet you in hell. Well, I stand here to say, oh, no, you won't. You might be there. I know where I'm going. So it's an assurance that we have of this faith and understanding that God has given so much for us. You know, we're going to have a reunion with our loved ones. And Christ, who gave his life for us who didn't deserve it, that's what we're going to be looking forward to. Tell these people that you're inviting maybe to the church service, or even just talking to them about the importance of the birth of Christ. Tell them in love. They don't want to miss out. Jesus commanded us to share the good news. So I mentioned this the other night at the men's Bible study. Why are you hoarding the Bible? Why are you hoarding the Word in the Bible? This is a great opportunity at this time of the year where we celebrate the birth of Christ. Jesus has commanded us to share the good news. God can use us to carry out anything in His will. We can be used by God in so many ways that you'd be surprised. So I ask you again to stop hoarding the gospel to yourself and spread it out. Though we will be celebrating His birth in the coming week, it's by His death that we have this hope and faith. So what is your hope? I ask that question because I know each and every one of us has relatives that are lost that don't know. So what is your hope? Is your hope strong enough that you would want to share the message of the purpose and birth of Jesus and how important it is? Could you make a commitment in your to yourself silently that you will do that in the coming week? And that doesn't stop just after Christmas. It continues each and every day. You never know who you're going to meet at Walmart, at the post office, at the convenience store, or in the restaurant, and get the word out to them. So what is your hope? Do you have faith in Jesus? If you say amen to that, that you have faith in Jesus, you have the best strength in the world on using the word out. Who's got your back? Jesus has got your back. All right? So you have that. Don't be a weak faith. Be a strong faith. If not, if you don't have that hope, if you don't have that faith, listen, you can have this hope and faith. I'm asking here, I love each and every one of you, and I'm asking you, don't leave here today if you don't know Him. Get with somebody. Brother James is here, one of our deacons. Talk to anybody. And let it be about the real purpose of Jesus' birth. May you not leave here tonight not knowing Him. But I challenge you that this week that you will spread this message. It doesn't have to be verbatim. My scriptures that I give you was not verbatim. I didn't need to go from how they traveled from Bethlehem to wherever because of the count and the taxes and all that good stuff. I just highlighted the key points here this evening for you. Again, I love each and every one of you, and I'm praying and hoping that each and every one of you are saved. The revelations of His importance and the purpose of His is that we will have life ever after. Let me go to Isaiah chapter 7. I can get there. All right, chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be called Emmanuel. So those other scriptures that I gave you in Isaiah and Zechariah all reference Jesus. You have the ammunition. Forefathers of Abraham, Moses, and Isaac all had that information because God spoke to them. You have that in your Bible. Thank God each and every day that you do have the written word in front of you. And if anything, maybe just giving a Bible to that lost person and just ask them to read it. Now, I believe we have some extra pocket Bibles that has the New Testament as well as Psalms and Proverbs. You know, if you need some, we have them that you can hand out. Because sometimes it's tough talking to relatives. You know, they don't want to hear it. Oh, you're going to talk that religious stuff again. Oh, you know, well, I'm just came over here to eat ham and turkey. You know what I mean? Maybe just pop it in their Christmas gift. Put a little note in it, a little personal gesture. Maybe highlight some verses that are in the New Testament. We can do that for you. So there is no doubt that the purpose of Christ's birth was you and I to get us out of sin by possessing him as our faith. We're thankful for that. We sing songs this time of the year, highlighting when they lit the Christmas tree up in New York City, that 75-foot tree that lady donated. The first song they said was "Joy to the World," and I was totally shocked. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be some, like, you know, Merry Christmas something, you know what I mean? But it was "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Again, I thank you for the privilege of being here and speaking to you this evening. I ask that God will be with you and bless you. And again, I challenge that each and every one of you will take some part of what I mentioned this evening and use it to talk about the Lord. All right? Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us personally. And we ask, Lord, that you make us bold in your word, bold in the understanding, Lord, that we are to share your word. And, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to talk to somebody this week that doesn't know about you, or maybe that's unsure about it, or somebody that we really know that is definitely lost and going to a place that we don't want to go to. We want to go to the mansions that you've built on the mountain. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for those that came out tonight on this chilly night, that you bless them and bless their family. And Lord, be with us as we travel to go home, that we will all be safe as we meet again on Sunday. We honor you with our Christmas musical, Adore. And definitely, we do adore you, Lord. We lift you up on high. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, do we have any prayer requests?